So we're talking about Yitzchak Avinu. That's this week's parasha. Eloteh this Yitzchak ben Avram. Avram heard this Yitzchak. I want to speak about what Yitzchak brings to the table. Something very special about our emunah. And Yitzchak brings a dimension Avram Avinu, we could say, kind of did not have. And the reason Avram didn't have it because it didn't exist. That's the idea of emunas chachamim, is believing in the people that are teaching you. Your chachamim are like your fathers, as we mentioned. Mishinantum levanecha el talmidim. As we mentioned that Elisha called his father, called Elio Anavi. Avi, my father. In other words, that's the type of relationship we have in Yitzchak. It was actually his very father, not just kind of his father, it was his father. His father is the one that taught him everything that he knew, and he had emunah in his father. And where do we see that? It comes out most prominently in the Akedah. As we mentioned, the Akedah is something that is intellectual overload. It makes no sense at all why a person would, how could you kill somebody? How does that work? Is a korban a human sacrifice? It's not a Jewish thing at all. Not only that, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, Ki Yitzchak Yikar Lo Chazera. That's like, you know, the fuse just goes off over there. It just doesn't make any sense. And the answer is, it doesn't make any sense. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told it to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu has emunah in Hashem, and therefore, Hashem, you say, I'm going to do it. That's Avraham Avinu. Now, but what's with Yitzchak? Yitzchak didn't hear it from Hashem. So why is Yitzchak doing this? The answer is, Yitzchak has emunah in Avraham Avinu. He trusts his father. This is an extremely vital part of our Yiddishkeit, is emunah. We call it emunas chachamim, and that is Yitzchak Avinu. And that really, in a certain way, personifies who Yitzchak was. Yitzchak, basically, everything he did was a carbon copy of his father. I would call Yitzchak, obviously you don't want to say it in a derogatory way, but he's kind of a copycat. Everything Yitzchak did was the same thing that his father did. Anyone have any examples?
Yeah, he went
through.
What did he do when he went there?
He redug the well.
No. Excellent.
Sorry,
he said his wife, everything. There's a famine. What did Avram do when there's a famine? He went. Yitzchak wanted to go down to Mitzrayim. Can't go to Mitzrayim because he can't go to me, but that's what he wanted to do. Right? Yitzchak was basically just following his father's footsteps. That's what he was. He dug wells. No, he didn't, says Rabbi Schneider to be. What did he do?
He redug
the wells his father dug, the Pasuk says. As a matter of fact, Chazal tell us that who did Yitzchak look like?
Exactly.
He was a spinning image of his father. Because that's what Yitzchak was, a spinning image of his father. And the Pasuk in this week's parasha, the very first Pasuk, basically sums it up. Eileh told us Yitzchak ben Avram. These are the chronicles of Yitzchak ben Avram. This is the story of his life. Avram hoilid es Yitzchak. Well, I thought we're talking about Yitzchak over here. What are you telling me that Avram hoilid es Yitzchak? Because the answer is, you want to know who Yitzchak was? Yitzchak was his father's son. That's what he was. He was a shtiktate. He was a shtiktate. The Rav Hutner, the Chatzadik Levracha, Rav Hutner said it like this. Avram was the first Givoriner. Yitzchak was the first Givoriner. There's a Givoriner. A Givoriner is a person that he became, like the Baal Tshuva. Avram was the first Baal Tshuva. He's the first one to come to it on his own. Yitzchak is the first one to be born into the fold. And what does that mean? That means that he is following in a Messiah. Yitzchak has a Messiah. He has a tradition. And that's Yitzchak. Yitzchak is the tradition that we get. And that is Emunas Chachamim. That we believe that the Chachamim are the ones that have the insight into how a person is supposed to behave. Now that is broke down into two different components. There's one thing, which is Emunas Chachamim in regards to Halacha. And there's another thing, which is Emunas Chachamim in regards to Hanhaga. Those are two different things. Emunas Chachamim is, how do you interpret the Halacha? You have a Machlokes Rashba and Ritva. How do we paskin, says the Pnei Yeshua? We're going to paskin like the Ritva. The Shulchan Aruch is going to paskin like the Ritva. Why don't I come to my own decision about that? I follow the Chachamim. I have a Pasuk. The Pasuk tells me, what does that mean? Does anyone know what that Pasuk means?
Between your
eyes. What are Toitafais? We're not really sure exactly. The Pasuk doesn't really say much. It's something, some foreign language, Taitafais, and the Chacham interpret that to mean tefillin, not between your eyes, on your head, but like in the place that's between your eyes. I mean, technically, people, like the Tzdukim used to put tefillin. You ever saw anyone with tefillin? I saw once someone who, he was very not knowledgeable. He put this tefillin like right between his eyes, like right over here. He was one of those people that like...
That's why you...
What?
That's why you kiss your tefillin, your eyebrow, your...
Right, because That's why you kiss your tefillin, and you're at that time. It's not b'nei necha, it's over here on your forehead. Okay, but that's the Chacham's interpretation. Without the Chachamim, we would have a whole different gisha, a whole different approach to what is to what's halacha. We come up with our own halachas. The Chacham are telling us how to interpret halacha. That's one thing. And there's another thing, which is with hanhaga, which is also listening to the Chacham as far as how do we deal with situations. That's also a concept called listening to Amunas Chachamim. The Chacham can also tell us how to deal with a situation. For example, politics. Who runs our political party? Does anyone know who runs the political party?
It was
Rav Avadya. Rav Avadya ran Shas. That's a political party. Rav Aaron Leib Steinman runs Gimel. It's a political party. And the Ger Rebbe runs Gudas Yisrael. It's a political party. Our political parties are being run by Agadol Yisrael. Why are they running the political parties? Like, why don't you get someone, you know, some sort of savvy, cool, like, you know, some politician. Right? You know, who's good at making promises and not keeping them, good at, you know, public speaking or something like that. Why are we having Rabbanim, Gedolim, running political parties? Who started Gimel? Does anyone know who started the party Gimel? Gimel is the party of the yeshivas. Does anyone know who started it? Reb Shach. Reb Shach started Gimel. So why is Reb Shach running a political party? Like, doesn't he have other things to do with his life? You know what I mean? I think he should be busy with other things. But the answer is no. Reb Shach is the one who makes the decisions how to deal with politics. That is Hanhaga based on the Chachamim. And Rav Dessler writes, and we're going to skip a little bit to a future a holiday, but everyone's always willing to talk about Purim, because Purim is always like, conjures up like, you know, pleasant memories. So Rav Dessler writes, that's what happened Purim time. What was the mistake that Klal Yisrael made? Klal Yisrael made a mistake. What? They didn't believe him. What did Mordechai say?
He shouldn't go to the fish.
Now, they were like, were they going to eat trafe there? What were they going to do?
He's going to chill.
They're going to go for the chill. Yeah. They're like, I think they're going to do more than that. I think that they were saying, listen, politically, how can we not show up? The king invited us. The king invited us to come. How can we not come? So Mordechai said, look, I understand that you think it's politically correct to come. You have to go. It's halacha? No. But he's saying that this is the right thing to do under the circumstances. And they're like, listen, Mordechai, it's very nice that you think that way, but we're just not going to listen to you. Right? So what was the problem? It was a problem and a lack of emunas chachamim. They didn't trust him. Yeah, Mordechai, come on, you don't understand. We got to, like, you know, be current. And, you know, you're a rabbi, you know, sitting like in your home over there, whatever. You know, we know what's going on in the real world. There's the real world, you know what I mean? There's the rabbis living their little bubble over there, and then there's the real world. When we get out to the real world, then we got to make our own decisions. Hey, don't listen to the rabbis. That's basically what happened. And that was bad news.
You see that a lot today also.
So, what? You see, it's very, very current. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. This is a very big problem that people have. So what's the tikkun, says Rav Dessler? Is all of a sudden Mordechai's family is like, you know, is like close to the queen. Right? And this is a serious situation, you understand? Everyone knows that the Jews are going to be destroyed. But Mordechai has to say, you don't do anything, we'll take care of it. You'll take care of it. What do you mean? Well, we're sitting ducks over here. We're going to be killed. Everyone is sending armies after us. We're going to take care of it. How are you going to take... We'll take care of it. But you guys are sitting pretty over there. Mordechai and Esther, they're like, Mordechai's on the king's horse. Esther's the king's queen. You know what I mean? You guys aren't in danger. So you're going to take care of it? No way. We got to take this into our own hands. Relax. Trust me. That was the ticking. That's what fixed it. When Klal Yisrael was able to trust Mordechai and Esther,
and they're going
to
take care. Then.
They had a choice. They could have chose other ways of trying to deal with the situation, but they didn't. Esther said, "I want everyone to do what I tell you to do," and everyone listened. They all listened. So that's the tikkun. Is when Klal Yisrael was there was like a fix in Naaseh V'Nishma. Right. In other words, at Har Sinai we said Naaseh V'Nishma. Correct.
Yeah.
But there was it's like a little bit interesting. But on the other hand, it was Kofalem Harkigigas, which means that Hashem had to force us. So is it Nasev and Nishma? Or is it Nasev and Nishma means we're in? A couple of Magagigas is I'm forcing you to do it. Which one was it?
Both.
It was both. So the Medrash says, I'll tell you what. Klal Yisrael said Nasev and Nishma on anything Hashem said. But we have to listen to the Chachamim. There's a Medrash. No, we're not ready to listen to the Chachamim. We'll deal with Hashem ourselves. What? I can't hear. What? Yeah, there is. You're asking a good question. So how could they have even thought that? You're asking a good question. Yeah. That's it. You're asking a good question. But this is the Medrash. It's a Medrash. It's close to as Gemara as you could get. So we'll have to deal with that, okay? So that's what Klal Yisrael, Kovel Magagiz is on there, Amunas Chachamim, they Amunin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, whatever you say, we'll do. You don't have to tell us what it is. Nasev and Ishma, we're in. We trust you. The rabbis, we don't trust the rabbis. They weren't ready for it yet. So when did that actually, they reach that level of Amunas Chachamim? By Purim. That's what it says. Kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim, kimu mashakiblu kvar. They're already makabel, nasev v'nishma. Now they're being makayimen. Now they're doing it in its fullest, which is there's amunas chacham that's happening over here. So that's basically what we're speaking about is the Midah of Yitzchak, and in very many ways, it's really the foundation of all of our Amunah. Because I'm going to ask you a question, which is perhaps the most important question that you could possibly ever be asked in your life. Are you ready? And I'm willing to bet that most of the people that are from do not know the answer to this question. What is the foundation of your Amunah? Why do you believe in God? Let me say that differently. Why do you believe in Judaism? Why do you believe in Judaism? Why do you believe in Judaism? Now, Rabbi Sai?
Because my parents do. And
you do not have to answer this question. You do not have to answer this question if you don't want to, but if you'd like to,
you don't believe?
You can try to answer this question. Why do you believe in Judaism? Believe, no. Well, why are you religious? That's basically what it boils down to. Why are you religious? This is a question which, if you go on the street and ask people, a lot of them will have a rough time, like really giving you like a good answer. Like many people, they might not say this, but like, why are you asking me this question? That's like, you know, like, just leave me alone. What?
Once you're born Jewish, it's easier.
Okay.
I don't agree.
So why? What?
I don't agree.
You don't agree with what?
I don't agree yet. Once you're born into it, it's easier. Any person that has any sense of brains would like...
Well, yes and no, but...
We live in a world where 99% of the people are like, what are you doing? Like,
it depends. England, so let me explain. In England, so it's very, very difficult to break out of your community. Like, what are you going to do? I'm going to like turn my back on my religion, and then no one's going to talk to me, I'm not going to have any friends. And they live in a very, very small... What?
Not a lot.
It's a very big challenge. You're right, but he's just saying his point is that for a lot of people today, it's just comfortable to be religious, and that's it. Why am I doing it? I'm just doing it because what am I gonna have to do now? Now I gotta like get into a fight with my parents, and I'm gonna like be. I don't have any friends, no money, no nothing. Okay, so instead I go to Deli 52 instead of going to Nathan's. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, whatever. It's not a big deal. I could drive an Infiniti, right? I could be Jewish and drive an Infiniti. I could have a big house. My wife can have a shekel down to her, it's like, what's the problem? So I'm religious. You know, what's the big deal? I can't have a cheeseburger. I mean, so what? And then if I have a cheeseburger, no one will know about it. I mean, it's just like religious. A lot of people are religious by convenience. That's what he's saying. That's a big problem. But he's saying that that could be what a lot of people's, deep down, what they're thinking is just, I don't have to think about it. It's just like not a big deal for me. I'll be religious. It's a bigger deal to be not religious than it is to be religious. It's not a good answer, but that might be what a lot of people's answer is. So let's try to get a good answer to this question. Why, not you, why are we religious?
Why do you need an answer?
It just feels right. What?
I can't. I don't.
It's a feeling. You know what I mean?
There are some people that go with that approach. I've heard rabbis say that. It just feels right. It's just right because it's right. Where do you see the truth, man? Where do you see the truth? What?
Yiddish can end the religion.
What's the difference?
Because every other religion starts out like this. There was a prophet who God spoke to, and he came out and he told everybody else.
Right.
Yiddishkeit starts out with, really, God spoke to 600,000 people.
Okay, so what you're saying is basically mass revelation.
So, right. Why do you have to be Jewish at all?
Every other religion is proven wrong.
Why can't you just be atheist?
No, maybe it's made up.
Why can't you be atheist?
Up saying they have 600,000 people. Any of them
around now? That's going. That's proving Judaism.
So I believe that according to many Rishonim, what Rabbi Shaffel in training is saying is correct, which is that the foundation of our religion is Maimed Har Sinai. Now I want to explain to you. I'm going to see as 600,000 people all said that this happened. How do I know that's true? Maybe it's made up.
Right.
So the answer is because we have a Mesorah.
Christians also have a Mesorah.
Yeah, we have, but the Mesorah of what? Mesorah is hinged on one person. Now, let's take your father for a second. Does your father like you? Yes, he does. He does, right? Is he trying to, like, trick you?
No.
You trust him?
Yeah.
So, is he telling you that he heard from... From his father?
His father's not from...
Well, yeah, I know. That's why you were a bad choice. But from his Rebbe. And his Rebbe from his Rebbe. And his Rebbe from his Rebbe. Why are people manipulating everyone?
Every religion does that.
No, there's one person that manipulated. You know what his name is?
Muhammad.
I'm assuming that.
Why did tons of people listen to him?
Oh, that's a different story. But that, he just, it's clearly hinging on one person. There's one delusional person.
Made up that he's 600,000
people. So how did that happen? Let me get this straight. Okay? One person said, 600,000 of us all heard God. You're like, really? Yeah, we all heard it. Did you hear it? Yeah, we heard it. That doesn't make any sense. You can't.
Yeah.
Oh, so I got it. So okay. So he's the only one that knows about it. Let me get this straight. We're a religion of around 600,000 people, 2 million. No one else knew about this. He's like, guess what, guys? All of our grandfathers heard about or spoke to God. Really? Why did my father tell me? Oh, he forgot. He told me to tell you. That's why. It's been my secret for a little while. So I'm going to tell you all that all of our grandfathers all spoke to God. Does that make any sense? Are they going to buy that? Jews are about as skeptical as you could possibly imagine. Jews are going to buy, oh, by the way, your great-grandfather spoke to God and he didn't tell you about it. I'm telling you about it. So you got to keep all of these restrictions, all these laws. Can't do this, can't do that, because I'm telling you that your grandfather spoke to God. Are you joking?
Yeah, but
that is the most ridiculous thing possible. It's much more normal to say that there's one delusional guy. Now, I want to tell you something about crazy people.
Everybody believe one delusional guy.
I want to tell you something about crazy people. Crazy people are extremely influential. Because when you're crazy, you actually believe what you're saying. He was crazy. Muhammad was called a Meshuggah. Now, there's another guy by the name of Yashka. Now, Yashka was a different story. Yashka and his disciples, he's a different story. First of all, Yashka, he had superpowers. He was using Shem Hashem and stuff like that. He learned Tinu Kabbalah and all that stuff. So he was doing all this wacky stuff. So I was like, whoa, check this guy out. He did. He had stuff going on over there. He did. Yashka was able to use the Shem Hashem. He was actually able to... Yashka was able to fly.
Really?
Yeah.
What a magic carpet.
And he
water into wine.
The Shem Hashem. And one of the Tanaim over there was not so happy with him. So he urinated on him.
Yep.
And that was the end of that. That's true. This is what happened. Yashka was doing stuff. Yashka was so... People believed him. So now, did they say that they spoke to God? That God told them anything? No. No, there's one man, and he's the linchpin on the whole thing. Same thing is true with Mohammed. There's only two religions. There's no really other religion. Everything
Buddhism.
Else is not really religion. It's a Buddhist stuff. There's no... They're not coming from anywhere. They're not saying anyone spoke to God or anything.
Why are we Jewish?
So the answer is we have a Mesorah from Har Sinai. Our religion is based on our Mesorah. That's Yitzchak. Mesorah from Har Sinai. That's what it is. Har Sinai, Kodesh Baruch Hu says clearly in the Pesukim, I want you to remember this day. I want you to, if you got it to Levincha, Bayom Ulemor, you have to say that
Kodesh Baruch Hu. Maybe a person would say that Chumash is made up, I don't know.
When is it being introduced? I'm going to explain something to you. When did they bring this thing in and convince everyone that it's real? When did it happen? In other words, you can't bring it in and say, okay, this was your grandfather. So why all of a sudden it's like, here it is. Where was it up until now? What's the explanation? When can you introduce something and just like make it sound like it's from thousands of years ago? So where has it been up until now? Why haven't we heard about it? Why don't we know anything about this? We're just people with no religion. All of a sudden, oh, by the way, your great-grandfather's name was Abraham. Whoops. Thank you very much. Okay. That's not something that a person can do. A person can't do that. There's no way to say, okay, your great-grandfather's name was Abraham. I didn't know my great-grandfather's name was Abraham. Who told me? Where'd you get that from? Oh, there's a book. Why don't I know about this book? Oh, because we're now, we lost it. and it's not like an event, the finding of the Bible. Like, what is that? It doesn't make any sense. It makes absolutely no sense. What makes sense is we have emunah and our Messiah passed down from generation to generation. It makes no sense that somewhere along the way told us otherwise, because we trust our parents and we trust our Rebbeim. They have no reason to lie to us. There's no reason.
People don't believe in
People do a lot of crazy things. It's insanity. A lot of people deny the Holocaust. Do you know how many people alive today don't deny the Holocaust? You know that?
Millions,
tens of millions, maybe even hundreds of millions of people deny the Holocaust. You know how crazy that is? Yeah, but if you want to deny the Holocaust, you will. You want to deny a lot of people want to deny Har Sinai also. They're very happy to deny it. They want to deny it. You can do whatever you want. You can deny anything you want. You could deny that your name is really Morty Allen. Maybe you're not Morty Allen. Maybe you're an imposter. Who said you're really Morty? What?
They know the why they're Jewish. I don't know.
It's at the end of the day, it's scary to think about. Because when you really know this is the truth,
right?
Really the truth, then how could you have anybody have a Halloween up follow it? It just shows that even the firm world, so many people look once, look twice, I have this, I live this, I live that, because there's no real truth and growth and depth.
You're right, people have
this question,
that.
If you sit in a room of people that they don't know the answer, how could you not know the answer?
100%, you're right. Their entire life is empty. They're not going because they're basically just non-religious people. Just
so I asked the biggest chinuch guy in Lakewood.
We have to stop one second. We're gonna stop here. We're gonna continue when Thursday.
Yes.
We have to talk about something else. There's one more thing we have to talk about. Oh, machlokes. How do you deal with machlokes among chachamim? Just want to say one more thing. We're gonna end with this. Yitzchak is Shavuos. Shavuos Matan Torah. The Torah says Yitzchak is Shavuos because that's the Messiah of Klal Yisrael. Comes from that moment. And Yitzchak is the one who personifies the Messiah. So therefore, Yitzchak is Shavuos. We will continue with more Thursday. Thanks, guys. We'll see.